Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Thursday, July 30th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr., and joining me is twitch.tv/ZombieKills. Zombie, how's it going?
It's going pretty chill, you know? It's a really chill Thursday for 2020, you know?
Yeah, thanks so much for joining me. I hit you up very randomly and was like, yo, we gotta get you on Kind of Funny Games Daily. Because me and you, we were on an episode of Spawn on Me a few months ago. And you were amazing. Everybody on that show was amazing, right? And I want everybody on that show to be on KFGD for the most part. And most people on that show actually have been on KFGD. But yeah, like, you know, you've been on What's Good Games. You've been making the rounds. And I was like, yo, we got to get Zombie Kills on KFGD because she's been killing it. And so welcome.
I'm super pumped to be here. You know, I was really worried about corrupting you, but here we are. I mean,
listen,
if that's the road we're going to go down, I'm down to do it. Today.
I do multiple podcasts with Greg Miller every single week, and so I don't think there's a certain person that can corrupt me more than that man has and does. And so you're totally good.
Up to the challenge. I'm up to the challenge, Greg Miller. Let's see what we can do here.
So for people who might not be familiar with you, who are you? What do you do?
I am a Twitch streamer and a Blacktivist. I like to do a lot of talking about things that are important to me. I'm very, very loud about what I think is right. We talk about a lot of political stuff, and we also, you know, sometimes get down, get a little drunk, and play some games.
Yeah. So I tuned into your stream, I want to say earlier this week, and I don't know if you want to talk about this at all, but you were doing like this, like a fundraiser type of thing for a store in your area. Do you want to talk about what that was?
Sure. Yeah. So there's a comic book shop here. It's the only Black-owned comic book shop in the state of Mississippi. And it is owned by my lovely friend, Philip Young Venom Rollins. He's a really cool guy. And they're struggling because of COVID, as most businesses are. But it's not just a comic book shop. It is also a place where live music happens. We also host comedians come in. We also sell minority art. So like anybody Black who's making art in the city and they want to sell it, we have them have their art gallery there. So it's really, really cool. And so we've been trying to raise money to help keep them open. I do it once a month. We do a live music showcase and we have producers come make beats and we just get really fucking Black and celebrate our culture and just like do hip hop and talk about nerd shit, you know, weeb stuff, straight up comic book shit. Like it's 100%. We give away stuff as we raise money. We raised $900 last Sunday.
Wow.
Which was great. We gave away a Vegito. And what is it? Piccolo? I'm not that big of a weeb, okay?
Is it Vegeta or Vegito? Because there's a big difference. Vegito is like the fusion with Patara, and that's Goku and Vegeta having a baby, basically.
A whole bunch of words. I don't know where you're going with this.
Did it have earrings on it? On them? Is the main question.
Wow, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know. Somebody in this chat probably knows from the show and they could tell us. We're raising money for them and we do it once a month. If you tune in, guys, if you check out Offbeat on their Offbeat JXN on Twitter, check them out. Order some shit, put some cool stuff in your house. Blessing, your house looks way too classy in the background here. I'm seeing a very classy bed.
I
have a bunch of weave stuff. It's very classy.
I don't know if you can see it in the stream. Oh no, I don't think you can see it in the stream because the way I'm cropped. But I have like a cloud plushie over there. I got my like light up PlayStation symbols right here. I've been trying to figure out how I can spice up my room because
your room looks very grown man. It looks like you're studying to be a doctor.
And that's the big thing, right? Like my walls are pretty much empty and it's a mixture of a couple things, right? When I moved down here to SF, I was going to, the house I'm living in right now, the plan was to be here very temporarily because the goal was, hey, we're going to get Blessing down to San Francisco. And then from there he can like find his own place or do his own thing or stay here if he wants to. But like that was the big plan. So right now I'm staying in Kevin's sister place. Kevin, of course, is our producer on the show most of the time. I'm staying at his sister's place. And you know, COVID happened. And so like with that, that kind of threw out my plans to move out in a timely fashion. And so I've been stuck here. And it's one of those things where I'm like, okay, I could like decorate the room. I could make this room my own, but I don't necessarily have plans to be here like forever, right? Like I've been planning to move forever.
It looks like an Airbnb from like a slave plantation. Like you got a fucking fireplace in the back. You got you got a bed from like the 1900s. Like it's a vibe. You look like doctor. It's a vibe. I see it. I see it though. I'm here.
The thing that's nice about this room though is that it's very big. Like that is like the main thing. Because Nick Scarpino, whenever I'm on camera with Nick Scarpino, he's always like, dude, is your room big or is that just the perspective? No, this room is huge.
Yeah, it looks huge. Nice. It looks giant. Like it looks like a 20 by 15 foot room. Like I'm into it.
Before we actually transition into the actual show, though, I want you to be able to pimp your Twitch as much as possible. And so, like, twitch.tv/zombiekills is where people can follow you. That's zombiekill spelled ZOMBAEKILLZ. If people are going to watch your content, what can they expect from your channel?
Chaotic energy. Big chaotic black energy. That's how I would describe. If you've never heard of me before, it's big, loud, chaotic black energy. You might tune in and we might be doing some self-help shit with a licensed clinical psychologist. You might tune in and we might be saying, you know, damn the man, let's overthrow the government. You might tune in and we might be playing video games. You know, so like, it really is just me being myself all the time. And my content reflects who I am. It might be about activism, which I'm very, very vocal about. It might be about taking care of yourself and protecting your space and caring about people, because I also really, really love people very, very much. Or it might be about just getting drunk and, you know, jamming to the You About to Lose Your Job video remix. Who knows? We don't know. It's a mixed bag.
There you go. Twitch.tv/zombiekills. Go give her a follow. Go give her support. But enough about that. Let's talk about, is E3 still relevant? There's a new studio coming from the folks behind Bulletstorm and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when you get stuff wrong by going to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindafunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post show. Except today, we're actually not having a post show. I think Greg posted a blog post on Patreon to explain why, but essentially because of scheduling conflict, and because we gotta have a clean transition from this show to the next, because we're having Major Nelson on. This episode in particular will not have a post show, so just a heads up. But enough about that. Let's get into housekeeping. It is Major Nelson weekend here on Kinda Funny. That means today you can join Greg, Major Nelson, for We Have Cool Friends. That's happening live right after this live episode of KFGD on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames and later on youtube.com/kindafunny and on your podcast services for We Have Cool Friends. Friday, that's tomorrow, Major Nelson joins Greg for Kinda Funny Games Daily, so tune in for that. And then Saturday, Major Nelson joins Noek, Mike, and Alana Pierce for the Kinda Funny XCast. Again, that is all going down right here on Twitch, youtube.com/kindafunny, youtube.com/kindafunnygames, and on podcast services around the globe. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Mama Muhammad, Momo, and Blackjack. Today, we're brought to you by Brooklinen, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is, and forever will be, the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have five stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Starting with our number one, Zombiekills, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Is E3 still relevant? The reason why I'm asking you this question is because I have an article here from Matthew Handrahan of GamesIndustry.biz, who writes about how big publisher showcases didn't suffer from the absence of E3. The article reads as follows. Major publishers have not struggled to get attention for their announcements in the absence of E3, according to a new report from Superdata. The analyst firm gathered data from Twitch following online showcases from both PlayStation and Ubisoft this year, and found a higher level of engagement than similar broadcasts associated with live events. The PlayStation 5 reveal on June 11th was watched by an average of 1.51 million people at any given minute of the live broadcast, much higher than the Xbox briefing at E3 2019. It should be noted that Sony didn't have a presence at E3 2019 and had not planned to attend this year's event before it was canceled. In a statement, the company said, quote, "We do not feel the vision of E3 2020 is the right venue for what we're focused on this year," end quote. Superdata highlighted a similar trend in audience engagement for Ubisoft Forward on July 12th. It attracted an average of 1.02 million a minute during the live broadcast versus 0.75 million viewers during Ubisoft's presentation at E3 2019. Superdata noted that the audience was given an incentive to watch, however, in the form of a free copy of Watch Dogs 2 on PC. Even so, Ubisoft attracted 60% more viewers than during E3 2019. However, while SuperData noted that big publishers like PlayStation and Ubisoft seem capable of creating the same or even greater levels of interest around their products, that isn't the case for every company that attends E3. Quote, for example, the PC gaming show, which focuses mainly on a wide range of indie to mid-sized games, experienced lower live viewership on its official stream in 2020 than in 2019, SuperData said. So to condense this all together, right, basically viewership is larger this year than last year for, quote, E3 style showcases, except for when it comes to the smaller stuff like PC game showcase. Zombie, how does that read to you? Do you feel like E3 is still a necessity nowadays?
You know what? Okay, can I be real? Can we be real?
Go for it.
All right, it's bullshit. We're all trapped in our damn houses. Of course they're going to be watching, more people are going to be watching live streams. We can't leave. Like, we're all watching because we can't leave. We don't got shit else to do. Of course they're, like, pulling better numbers. Like, to put out articles like this just seems incredibly redundant, and, like, they're trying to get as much engagement as possible. E3 is human interaction. That's what it's about. It's about getting people engaged in gaming. So to, like, sit here and act like that is not worth anything, especially in a time where I feel like we now know how much human interaction really is so important. Human interaction is lit. We've been sitting in our houses having zero human interaction. Well, I know, like, five of us are thriving. The rest of us are about to, like, yeet ourselves off the planet. So E3 has a place for me. I want to go touch and play with games. I want to see my friends. I want to have a good time. I want to play video games and see these incredible, you know, setups that they have and just, like, enjoy myself. To think and to put it down that live streaming is where it's at, it's just not. And it's kind of bullshit that they put out these articles, to be fair. Y'all find something better to write about.
I think there's a push and pull, because I think you're right in the sense that a big part of this is, yeah, we're all stuck at home. Like, there's also, like, we also see numbers being higher for video games being played, right? Especially since quarantine started, because folks are stuck at home. People are looking for things to do. I think that is then going to lead to things like streaming numbers being higher. I think that's been true for Twitch across the board as far as where numbers have been at. And so I think what you're saying there is 100% true. I also think what you're saying as far as the value of being there in person and what the push and pull of that is going to be is also very that's correct. Like, I think that's the big struggle when it comes to what is the future of what these showcases and what E3 is going to be. Because, yeah, like, the one thing that isn't replaceable as far as E3 is concerned is game demos. And this has been an interesting summer to see how publishers and developers are going about trying things out, right? Like, I've had demos that I play. Well, I've had quite a few demos now over the summer, right? And it's been interesting to see the different ways they've been handled. I've had demos where they've been done over NVIDIA GeForce Now, the streaming service, right? And I am playing a game, but that comes with lag, that comes with the complication of setup and scheduling and all this different stuff. I've also had demos where it is, hey, you're sitting down and you're like on Discord and you're watching video of the developer playing through their game, right? I've had that. I've had cases where it is, all right, we're going to give you an executable that you can play the game through. But, like, we're going to sit you down on Discord, give you the presentation that way. You are going to demo the game for an hour and a half, and we're going to shut down the demo experience after you're done with that. Like, there have been quite a few different ways that developers have skirted around that. But none of it, I feel like, is as easy or hits, like, the natural... Nothing feels as natural as being able to show up to an actual demo in person and go in and go out and have everything just be done there. And so I think you're right on that point.
Yeah. And just being a streamer, we're supposed to introduce people to the world of games, right? Like, so those kind of events are focused towards people in our industry. Being able to do that and have that magic makes us able to be enthusiastic about selling it for them. So yeah, I think they're missing out on a couple of things there, but I mean, it's good to know we can do it virtually and that people don't have to blow ridiculous amounts of money that they can't afford to go to these exclusive type of events. So it's like a win-win. I feel you.
Yeah. Well, I think that's where, again, like, the push and pull comes in, because, like, I think as far as what these numbers say and as far as what the article is kind of getting at here, like, when it comes to money, for example, right? Like, not having to pay for an E3 presence, I think is going to be huge for developers. It's going to be huge for publishers. That is very much incentive not to show up, especially when you can prove that, hey, Like, our streaming numbers are just as good, if not better, without E3. I think all of this makes that conversation interesting, and I'm curious to see, in a world post-COVID, or in a world where we're not all stuck at home and we've kind of gotten past this wave, what does this look like in 2021? In fact, I'll ask you that question. Do you have any predictions on what 2021 is going to be like around this same time? Do you think we're going to go back to E3 being the big event, or do you think we've moved past that?
I don't think we're going to be doing shit in 2021 because people won't wear masks. So I think we're going to have to talk about 2022 if we're just being real. I don't foresee anything happening next year. I think that we're all really looking forward to next year, but numbers wise, we don't have anything to support that. So yeah, I think we're going to have to reimagine a lot of things and see what it's going to look like. But I do hope that they move things into a way that's more accessible, because for me, I know there's a lot of paywalls in gaming, and I'm sure you know that too. There's a lot of paywalls to be going to E3 and everything. And I feel like making it more accessible, making gaming more accessible financially for people is such a big thing for me, because I want everyone to love and play games and it not be hidden behind these expensive things. And so if they can make E3 something that's like a huge virtual con and we can get all kinds of stuff, I would love to see that. I think that's the evolution of gaming, is more accessibility for people. But I don't think we're going to have for a couple of years the same wonderful things that people look forward to. Like, I've never been to one. Like, I was super hyped to go this year, and now I'm like, I don't know, man.
Yeah,
when are we going to get it? Like, when are we going to go? So, you know, we'll have to meet up, Blessing, and give each other hugs once, you know, the rest of the world decides to start wearing masks again. So we can do that.
100% to that. I think the next few years is going to be very interesting, because I don't think E3 is going to come back and be the exact same as it has been. I think with the success we're seeing publishers and big companies have with streaming, it is going to be a big mix of, like, I don't think E3 is dead necessarily. I don't think E3 is completely going anywhere currently. But when E3 does make a comeback, I think it'll be a mixture, right? Like, I think we'll see companies do demos there. I think we'll see presentations align with E3. But I wouldn't be surprised to see, like, if a Ubisoft, for example, were like, hey, July worked out super well for us. Look at the numbers we're getting in July compared to in June, when we are going up against PlayStation and Microsoft and Square Enix and all these other, and EA and all these other big companies that are competing to get your marketing out there and get your advertising out there. Like, when you look at the numbers for Ubisoft Forward, there seems to be value in owning your own event. That said, I think the PC gaming showcase example in the article is very interesting, because I think a show like that, I think that having connection to something like E3, yeah, is going to be very good for that show. I'm sure, like, for the Kind of Funny Game Showcase, or for similar sized things, right? Like, having some sort of thing that brings them together. And that could be E3. That could also be the Jeff Keighley's Summer Games Fest, right? Like, governing body, but like some sort of connecting factor to bring these events together in order to hype people up, in order to give people something to look forward to, condensed into 1 week or one weekend or 2 weeks, whatever that time frame may be. I think it's super valuable. I think we're gonna see things be different.
I love that idea. I think that would be incredible. Like that we got to do some forward thinking. Things aren't the way they were last year, and we don't know when that's going to change, but Forward thinking and doing this kind of stuff is incredibly valuable. And the longer we're stuck at home, the more clever these companies got to be for us, right? Like, they gotta razzle dazzle us with the stuff like the Ubi Ford event. They really hit us with that hard. I was not expecting that from them. So I feel like the more they do these kind of things and they send out these kind of little things to press things for us, we'll have more fun. But yeah, I think it's evolving. I think we have to.
Now, speaking of these big publisher presentations, I got a story here about Halo Infinite showing at the Microsoft Game Showcase. Story number two, a Halo developer responds to criticism about the game's graphics. This is from Andy Robinson at Video Games Chronicle. Since its gameplay reveal last week, Halo Infinite's visual fidelity has in particular faced widespread criticism from both media, fans, and even big brands, who have highlighted issues with both the game's art direction and perceived lack of advancement since the last Halo game. Xbox has since claimed the footage shown last week was from a work-in-progress build and would improve. However, responding to a fan on Twitter, the game's narrative experience director offered a response that was more apologetic in tone. asked about the negative reaction to Infinite's graphics, Dan Kosick, or Kosick, I don't know how to pronounce the name. I'm going to say Kosick. Dan Kosick wrote, quote, "I've been in your shoes. I know what it's like to have expectations built and feel let down. I want you to know that your voice matters and is heard. You're not falling on deaf ears. I always want to live up to the legacy that Bungie pioneered. I personally care about honoring that," end quote. At the time of publishing, the tweet had been liked by several 343 Industries employees, including Halo Infinite's associate creative director. Zombie Kills, are you into Halo? Were you into Halo Infinite's presentation?
I must double be so real. Here comes the hate in the chat. I thought it looked like trash. I know the game was expensive to make. Everybody's going to start like burning fires at my house, pitchforks. For as expensive as the game is rumored to have been, I felt upset. I felt upset.
Really? From like the gameplay demo?
From the gameplay demo looked like the same game that we've seen before, y'all. We're shooting stuff in space. We're space guys shooting up stuff. Okay, y'all? Like, blessing. Mm-hmm. You could not have looked at that man's face up close. Like, he looked real cool when he was holographic. But then when they made him come to life, I was like, this is trash. Hot garbage. Then the pilot looked like he was janky. It looked like a Nintendo 64 game. I was upset. I was very upset. If it's in that condition, they should have hit us like the other, you know, people hit us with the really cool cinematic trailer. You know, mm-hmm. Hit us with a dope cinematic trailer. Don't show us the game. If it's going to be better, y'all should have held it close to the chest. A little more hype around Halo couldn't hurt, right? But yeah, I feel like they definitely messed me up. I feel like they messed me up. But I feel like they heard it and they were like, "Ooh, snap, we got fixes," because these Halo people are super pissed and they're not going to pay us if we don't get this game tight. So I feel like there's a lot of panic probably going on behind the scenes and somebody probably might have gotten fired. We don't know. Somebody's probably pissed, though, is like, okay, we got to take these N64 graphics and make them worthy of this new super box that they built us that they kept taking apart the whole damn demo. They took apart that Xbox like 300 times during that demo. And I feel like if they go sell that to us, blessing, I'm going to need them to, I want to shoot people in space with the rest of everybody else. I want to blow up stuff with my friends. Just make it look cooler.
I thought the gameplay demo looked great. I thought the screenshots that came out afterwards were like, oh, I don't know about this one. Because like, I think in motion, that game looked fine. It definitely let down in terms of, all right, what do you expect from a big next gen experience? Like, the game to me doesn't necessarily look like the big showcase for what next gen power can do as far as like graphical fidelity. I thought the gameplay looked fun. Like, I thought like them,
it did look fun.
You know, running around doing the grappling hook stuff, the open world stuff, all that stuff I thought looked super fun to play. But I am on the side of like, yeah, this doesn't necessarily strike me as something that is pushing the power of the console as far as it can go. And I don't know if that's like too high of expectations, especially for this early in the console cycle. Like, you know, we don't necessarily get those console defining experiences until like later on, but even still, right? Like, as far as the gameplay demo, I didn't necessarily have as much issue. That said, I mean, and this is me being honest on my side, I don't get the statements that they're making out of Microsoft. Aaron Greenberg, earlier on, we talked about this on the show, talked about how, like, yes, this is a work in progress build. Like, you can expect it to look better. I don't understand that statement. Like, I'm not a video game developer, but as far as I understand, that's not necessarily how video game development works when it comes to marketing your game, but then also like when it comes to the game that's coming out in November, presumably, right? Like, you don't necessarily layer on new assets over and over again until things look amazing, right? Like, you're not, if this game is going to have, and they actually did announce that the game is going to get ray tracing later on, but like if a game is going to have ray tracing in it, you'd imagine that in the marketing material for the game, you'd have that displayed in some sort of way. Like, I feel like there's more to it than it's a work in progress build, which is the thing that confuses me. I think the statement that they're giving here is better than the Aaron Greenberg statement, right? The Dan coming out and being like, yeah, I've been in your shoes. I know what it's like to have your expectations built and feel let down. I want you to know that we hear you and your criticisms aren't falling on deaf ears, right? I think that makes more sense in the idea that Halo Infinite, in the way that they've been building it, is not going to be one and done. This is a game that is going to be building for the next however many years, right? I think there's a quote out there that's like, this game is a platform for the next 10 years or so. I don't know if they said 10 exactly, but they've talked about how this game is going to be building over the future. With that being the case, I don't see it being out of the realm that the game looks better and better and better as the console generation goes on. Like, I don't think that is necessarily out the realm of possibility, especially with us knowing that ray tracing is coming after launch at some point. And so with that, yeah, if the game comes out and we're all playing it together and we're all like, ooh, this doesn't look as great as I wanted it to, I don't think that's going to be the end of the world for Halo, especially when we could expect it to look better down the line.
I don't think people care. We just want to shoot shit with our friends, right? Like, let's be real. We want to shoot shit with our friends. We all do. We all want to blow stuff up with our friends, and we want to hang out with space dudes and blow up aliens. And the grapple hook punch was amazing. Like, right? That was my highlight. When he grappled to that dude's face and then hit him, I was like, I'm sold. But also, we can't be out here pushing these, like, it's a graphic heavy game. Let's just chill out on pushing that this is going to be the best looking game on Xbox. And let's just appreciate Halo. Because right now, I'm looking at that Miles Morales Spider-Man joint going, look at what they're doing over there on Sony, and this is what we got. So I'm a little upset.
To your point of, like, let's just appreciate Halo, though, I think that plays into the idea, and this is the thing that I've been kind of trying to keep in mind as I've been watching gameplay demos and as I've been looking forward to next gen. Power doesn't always necessarily have to reflect in graphical fidelity. And I think console power can reflect in ways that, you know, aren't as obvious to us as a player. And so, like, with Halo Infinite, right? Like, you see how open those environments are. You see how, like, how well the game plays, how smooth it is, how, like, all these different things, right? Like, the power of the Xbox Series X can reflect in ways that go beyond, hey, look how crisp these models look. Hey, look how fucking clean the air is in this game. Look how amazing the ray tracing looks. Power can reflect in ways that are, hey, look how open and free this game is. Look how good this game plays. Power plays into that too. And I understand that. You want the best of both worlds. In a perfect world, I can get a beautiful game that plays amazingly. But sometimes, especially in game development, right, you have to sacrifice one thing to improve another. Like, that's how processing power works. And so, you know, I expect this game to look good because it's Halo and because it's their premier product and all this stuff. But again, for me, it's not necessarily the end all be all for what Halo Infinite is.
Yeah, I'm agreeing. I agree with that.
Speaking of big AAA shooters, story number 3, People Can Fly, the developers behind Bulletstorm and Outriders, is working on a new next-gen game. This is a press release on their website. We're excited to announce the development of a new AAA original title planned for release on the next generation of consoles, streaming platforms, and PCs. The new project will be led by People Can Fly's New York studio, which plans to hire dozens of new staff over the next year. Led by studio head David Grins, I'm going to say Grins, it's spelled G-R-I-J-N-S, which is, I've never seen that before, Grins, and creative director Roland Lesterlin, People Can Fly New York will work hand in hand with a sister studio in Warsaw. Oh,
they Rizizow. Are really. I feel like you're being punked.
Warsaw Rizizow, in Newcastle, to build highly ambitious, groundbreaking. If you're from Rizizow, I apologize. I've just never seen that before. To build highly ambitious, groundbreaking action adventure titles that take People Can Fly's nearly two decades of development expertise in a new direction. To match the scale of the new project, People Can Fly will grow its New York studio over the next 12 to 18 months and additionally open a new startup studio in Montreal. Quote, "There is electricity in the air at People Can Fly," said Sebastian, the CEO at People Can Fly. He continues, "Last year, we announced the opening of our New York studio and revealed Outriders for the first time. Today, we have surpassed 250 staff and are excited to announce the next chapter in the development of our company. Our intention from the beginning has been to expand People Can Fly into a multi-project studio and continue to build a global presence for our brand. With the launch of the next generation of consoles later this year, we are incredibly excited about the future of People Can Fly and the games industry as a whole," end quote. And this is a different quote. Quote, It's rare to ever get a chance to work on an original AAA game in today's world. Never mind being a part of the origination process, said Roland Lesterlin, creative director at People Can Fly New York. We're looking for brilliant and curious people to help us shape the vision of this incredible new world we're building. So that's exciting stuff. I don't know if you've played Bulletstorm or I guess Outriders isn't out yet, but I don't know if you have any interest in Outriders.
I don't, but I'll say this. The way they worded that made me feel like I needed to check out whatever they're doing. It was worded well. It was like, come check it out. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be brilliant. It's going to be wonderful. Like, all right, cool. I'll check it out. I'll check it out.
Yeah, I really love this press release because they're talking about how, like, yeah, like it's not an AAA studios are few and far between as far as like, especially AAA studios that get to do things on their own. Like Outriders, I think, is published by Square Enix. And so like they're still making games under different publishers, and you can probably expect the next game to be published by like some big publisher, right? If Square Enix or like an Activision or whatever it may be. But the fact that they say here, right, they get to be part of the origination process. That's really cool that we're going to get original AAA games from a studio that, you know, generally is talented, right? Like Outriders, we'll see. I know Andy previewed it and liked it. Bulletstorm, I know quite a few people who love Bulletstorm. And so it's exciting news. I'm excited to see it. Story number 4. Riot ends a sponsorship with controversial Saudi city Neom following outcry. This is Andrew Webster at The Verge. Less than a day after announcing that the new controversial Saudi megacity Neom would become a major sponsor of the League of Legends European Championship, Riot has reversed the decision. The news comes after fans, LEC staff, and Riot employees criticized the decision, due largely to the Saudi government's long history of human rights abuses, which extends to the creation of Neom itself, a city billed as a kind of sci-fi wonderland. In a statement, Alberto Guerrero, Riot's director of esports for the EMEA region, said, quote, "As a company and as a league, we know that it's important to recognize when we make mistakes and quickly work to correct them. After further reflection, while we remain steadfastly committed to all of our players and fans worldwide, including those living in Saudi Arabia and the Middle East, the LEC has ended its partnership with Neom effective immediately. In an effort to expand our esports ecosystem, we moved too quickly to cement this partnership and caused rifts in the very community we seek to grow. While we missed our own expectations in this instance, we're committed to re-examining our internal structures to ensure this doesn't happen again," end quote. The LEC is one of the most popular professional gaming leagues in the world, and following the initial announcement, many staff spoke publicly about the decision to partner with the Saudi government. Quote, I can't and do not personally support this partnership," Mark Yetter, lead gameplay designer on League of Legends, said. Quote, "Sponsors are essential for the esport to thrive, but not at the cost of human life and freedoms," end quote. The Saudi government appears to be using these kinds of esports sponsorships to burnish Neom's futuristic image. Outside of the LEC, the city has also announced a partnership with CSGO competition Blast. Zombie Kills, I know that is a lot to take in. And this is one of the ones where...
I know a lot about it. You know that.
Oh, do you really? Oh, okay. Yeah, well, that's actually perfect because I didn't know about this until literally this morning.
You ready to let me rip on it?
Please.
So they are executing people, intimidating people, prolonged detention, brutal torture, mounting executions, and silencing any voices that speak out about how they're handling moving the Huwait tribe off of their land so they could keep building their mega city. And it's disgusting. The human rights allegations, which are not really allegations because these have been founded by multiple human rights organizations, are astounding. And for any game company to be helping them polish this turd of a city is disgusting. And I personally, as a person in games, you know that I am not just a person in games. I'm a person who's an activist, and I care about human rights more than I care about games. It's a disgusting place. Neom is a disgusting place. Their government is incredibly oppressive. It's anti-LGBTQIA, et cetera. They're murdering people. They're literally murdering people. And for CSGO to be with them makes me want to make sure that I don't have anything to do with anybody that has anything to do with CSGO. You know, like, we need to do better in games, and I'm glad to see Riot taking a stand and doing that. I think with what's been going on with Black Lives Matter, we've begun to see that people will stand up when they think things are wrong now. in our industry, and we've been doing better. I've noticed a big change in people trying to do better. So let's just continue to do better and not support companies that support these types of places. And let's not polish up Neom and make it a better place for sure. But CSGO can fuck right on off with this bullshit supporting these huge travesties. But yeah, they're trying to make, they're killing people basically to make the tribe leave so they can keep polishing up their sci-fi city. Neom is a cool looking city, man. It's amazing. It's everything you want in the future, but it's at the cost of how many people are being killed. So yeah, no.
Yeah, it's nice to see them back up off this and cut ties. This is very much, for me, reminiscent of the situation we had. I think it was last year. God, this year has felt like it's been forever. But the whole Blizzard thing where they banned Blitzchung because he was supporting the protests going on. You know, this very much strikes me as similar to that. And I am glad to see that big companies are being held accountable when they fuck up like this, or when they support like pure corruption like this. And so you'd love to see it.
Yeah.
I hope CSGO follows suit.
As us being brown people, like you and I sitting right here, two black people in the games industry, what we've seen after our Spawn on Me, you know, episode came out, we've seen people hold themselves accountable. We've seen companies do this. Good on you, Riot. But I mean, like, it's also still the bare minimum to not be involved with human rights atrocities. Like,
yeah.
But good on you for reversing the decision. Now let's work on CSGO. We can't take the pressure off their necks. I know that we're supposed to allow room for improvement, and some people say we gotta, you know, slather a lot of grace on, but there's not a lot of grace for people that are being killed and being murdered right now. So we should really be focused on that, guys, and practice smart consumerism.
And I think you make a good point also talking about the Spawn on Me podcast and talking about like the things that followed and the reactions from that. Because like, I think this is a very good point of what being vocal can do. You know, if people aren't speaking up, if Mark Yetter, the lead gameplay designer here of League of Legends, isn't speaking up and being like, I do not support this. And if everybody isn't speaking up to talk about how this is wrong, this doesn't happen. Like, Riot still has that partnership. Riot is still then supporting, maybe not supporting, but partnered with Saudi and Neom and essentially contributing to the atrocities going on there. And so this is very much an example of why being vocal works, and why you got to talk about these things, and why you got to have these conversations, and why you got to like study and research and be involved, because it's things like that that is then going to allow for, again, big companies to be held accountable. And so once again, you'll love to see it.
Yeah, you'll love to see it.
Story number 5 is our last news story for today. A heads up, CD Projekt Red says there's no beta following an email scam attempt. This is from Joe Scrubbles at IGN, and this is more so of a PSA more than anything. CD Projekt Red has made clear that it has no plans for a Cyberpunk 2077 beta after scam emails appear to offer recipients the chance to join one. On Twitter, the Cyberpunk 2077 account made clear that recent emails promising beta access were not legitimate. The developer also made clear that any official communication to fans or content creators would come from a cdprojektred.com address, never from a third party. It's not clear what the scammers were hoping to gain from the unsuspecting Cyberpunk fans, but it seems likely that it would have asked for login details for gaming accounts. It goes without saying that you should be vigilant for anyone trying the same in your email inbox. When asked if there are any official plans for Cyberpunk 2077 beta, the account replied, quote, "We do not have plans for that. Sorry." So there you go. If you've been getting emails about a Cyberpunk 2077 beta, delete them emails because they are false. I found this to be interesting, one, because of that. Two, because we get confirmation that there's probably not going to be a Cyberpunk beta. But then also, what irony, right? Like, the fact that the company getting hacked and scammed here is Cyberpunk 2077, right? Like the project that's all about the future and hacking and scamming and all that shit. It's funny.
It is kind of funny. Also, y'all, I just want to play it. So if somebody's out there listening, let me play the damn game.
God. November. It's almost here.
No, I want to play it before that. Y'all said, I want to play it before that. I'm tired of this. I need to play it. Like, I just need to look at all the things. I need to know. I need to know what the hype is. Like, I do like Cyberpunk shit. I want to play it.
Is that your most anticipated game this year right now?
Well, yeah, well, Psychonauts, but, you know, they pushed it back, so mm-hmm. whatever. I'm just going to sit here. Yeah, I think Cyberpunk is definitely, for me, my top game that I'm waiting to see what it's going to be. And I don't even like single-player games at
really?
All. Really? No.
What are the games you play?
I mean, like, right now I'm playing Grounded, which I love. I'm kind of, like, having a good time on it. Oh. I like to play Dead by Daylight. I like to play Overwatch. I mean, I like to play things with my friends because right now we're trapped in our houses. So, like, squad gaming has become my thing. Like, having experiences with my homies because I can't touch anybody because we're all trying to die right now if we are out hanging with our friends. So, single-player games put me to sleep. Also, I have wildly unchecked ADHD, and I have 3 children, blessing. I have 3. 2 toddlers. I don't got time for that.
I want you to sell me on Grounded because I know Greg Miller talks about it a lot because he's been playing it. But like I have it downloading on my Xbox One X.
We're gonna play it together. I'm going to stay on top of you about playing it. It's great.
Can you sell it to me? Because like I'm not everything I've heard about Grounded as far as like the type of game it is doesn't necessarily speak to me. Like I am not a survival game person, but like.
This
I don't
is
think
the
Greg
game,
Miller is either. And so, like,
this is
if
the
he's
game
enjoying
for
it.
Not survival people, blessing. This is your time to shine. Mm-hmm. Like, you can be a full nerd in here, okay? You can, like, you can sit around and, like, build a base. You can go fight things. You can, like, literally, we could just roll up and beat some spider ass if we're feeling, like, a little bit thuggish. We can go fight ants. You can work with science. You can do all kinds of fun little things. Like, there's literally something in this for everybody. I love it. I like Ark, which is, you know, a huge MMO survival game. Like, it's a big one. And for me, this was like the kiddie version of Ark, almost. Except for it's just so Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, you know, hanging out and you're small and trying to survive in this big world. And it's cute and it's fun. You know, I mean, definitely a fun game to play with friends. Like, and it's a fun way to find out where your friends really are. Because I'll tell you what, you know, I turned around and people weren't with me a lot during this game. Okay. There's people over here building a house while I'm like getting jumped by ants and nobody's coming to save me. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know who your real friends are playing this game. But I definitely think it's fun. I think it's fresh. It's something different. And it actually gets really involved in the crafting, et cetera, in the game, which I really like. And like ant armor makes things way less. Like there's really cool depth to this game that I wasn't expecting. I've only played it for like, you know, 8 straight hours without stopping. But I think it's definitely in the running for me as my like top game that's come out this year. And it's adorable. And I love the diversity in the game. We've got brown people. You know, I'm here for that. Like we've got a brown woman in the game. Well, she's a teen. They're all teens, but we've got some diversity.
Do you create your own character or are there actual characters that you choose?
It's 2 brown and 2 ambiguous flavors of Caucasian.
Interesting.
And so you can pick like a brown boy or a brown girl or a white guy or like, you know, she could be racially ambiguous. She could be Asian. She could be white. We're not really sure. You know, they kind of threw her in there to look, you know, a little whatever. But I feel like there was some representation here. The game's fun to play. It's like a whole mix. For me, it hits every like level of something fun I'm looking to do with my friends and a great way to like just immerse yourself in a cool world and pretend like we're not living through 2020.
How are the spiders? Because I actually do have a fear of like the creepy crawlies. And that's actually one of the things that's been keeping me from actually wanting to boot it up because I know at a certain point I'm going to encounter a spider and like throw my controller through my TV.
They're a lot.
Oh no.
They're a lot. You can turn it off though. So they have an arachnophobia mode and you can like remove the legs stuff that's like it's like a whole thing. And they're also working on a colorblind accessibility mode as well. I like that they're really into that shit. Like, hey, sell me the accessibility. Sell me all the options. Like the fact that they thought about people with arachnophobia is pretty cool because so many people are terrified of spiders. But this is fantastic because not only can they turn that off, but they can still enjoy the game with their friends and it doesn't like change the outcome of the game. So I'm here for it. So we can turn it off for you, blessing. We'll do whatever makes you feel
all
more
right.
comfortable.
That does make me feel more comfortable. Zombie, I'm very excited to one day play Grounded, and even more excited for you to one day play Cyberpunk 2077. But that day is probably so far away. If I want to know what's coming out to Mama Grop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform, as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every Wednesday. Each and every weekday, sorry.
There you go.
Yeah.
out today. We got Buried Stars for PS4 and Switch, Hellpoint for PS4, Xbox One, PC, and Mac, Nowhere Prophet for PS4, Xbox One, and Switch, Yakuza Kiwami 2 for Xbox One, Fight Crab for PC, which I've actually played a little bit of.
Is that kind of fun? Is that the one with the giant crabs and they're holding like knives and shit? What?
Yep, that it is the behind the back fighting game where you're playing as a crab. Each analog stick controls a different limb on the crab, and you're essentially swinging and trying to fight another crab and like flip it on its back and murder it. It's a ridiculous game. It is a very ridiculous game. In fact, Barry, pull up. I'm going to keep reading out today. Pull up a trailer because we're going to watch a trailer for Fight Crab.
I'm on it.
Thank you. Also out today, we got Merchant of the Skies for Xbox One and Switch, Mobile Suit Gundam versus Maxi Boost ON for PS4, Dragon Blaze for PC, Heroes of the Hammer Watch Ultimate Edition for Switch, Hotel Souls or Sowls. I don't know how to say that word. Hotel Sowls. How we pronounce that for Switch? Kingdom Rush for Switch, Sentinels of Freedom for Switch, Locomotion for Switch, Spiral Memoria the Summer, Meet Myself for Switch, Imagination Practice for PC and Mac, Pandora Chains of Chaos for PC, Sprout for PC, Thousand Threads for PC, Into a Dream for PC and Mac, Liberated for PC, Factory Runner for PC, Egg Rabbit for PC, and then PUBG Update 8.1 is now available on console and Stadia. New dates for you. We have Darkestville Castle. That's coming to PS4, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch on the 13th of August. Pascal's Wager Tides of Oblivion expansion launches August 20th. The Skya 4 Complete Plus has been announced and is coming fall 2020 on Game Pass, PC, and Steam. Moon is coming out on Switch on August 27th, and I highly recommend people check out the trailer for Moon because that game looks actually pretty cool. And then lastly, Microsoft Flight Simulator will launch on Steam, and VR support is coming later this year as part of a free update. Right now, Bear Courtney is showing Fight Crab, which is available right now on PC. And yeah, the game looks ridiculous. Let me tell you, the game also plays ridiculous. And so
I need this. I would play this 100%.
This is a game of the year contender right here. I'm just saying.
If what you're watching appeals to you, then yes, I would recommend check it out.
I just want to be a crab with knives, slaying nunchucks. This is incredible.
It was one of those ones too where I was playing it and I was like, all right, I see where y'all going with this one, and I really respect the effort, and I respect the gimmick, and I respect it all. I don't think I'm going to play it ever again because it is one of those ones where it's like it was a fun experience to experience once, but I don't know how much there is there, you know, like past the first, let's say, hour or so of playing.
You heard it here. Blessings hit it and quit it with Fight Crabs.
I did hit it. I don't know if there's multiplayer, but if there is multiplayer, that could possibly be fun because I didn't play the multiplayer, and I feel like that could be a big part of it. And so, take my word with a grain of salt. Now it's time for reader mail. You can write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Brook Linen. You've probably heard us talk about Brook Linen before. They're the home of the internet's favorite sheets, but their towels, they're also amazing. They give you your daily routine, a little something. Wait, hold on. Let me say it all again because I didn't make this clear, right? Brook Linen gives your daily routine a little something extra. And with varying levels of plushness, the towel of your dreams is waiting to wrap you up. And with all this extra time at home, it might be nice to invest in a little extra softness and absorbency. Kind of Funny's own Greg Miller loves Brook Linen towels. He says they're super soft and big. He also says that they dry him off and cover his shame. If you've been looking for ways to turn your bathroom into a miniature spa, Brook Linen's towels can help you find your zen. Brook Linen is the perfect place to find all the comforts for your home, including ultra-soft towels. They're so confident in their product that everything comes with a lifetime warranty. Use promo code GAMES for 10% off your first order at brooklinen.com. That's brooklinen.com. Promo code GAMES. Brook Linen, everything you need to live your most comfortable life. Zombie Kills.
Yes.
I got a few questions I can choose from. I feel like we only have time for one, maybe two.
Okay, do it. Let's speed run it.
Now, do you want to talk about Avengers, the Avengers game that's coming out? Do you want to talk about Sekiro?
Squadrons.
You want to talk about Squadrons? Let's talk about Squadrons. 100%. BJ Bernardo writes in and says, "Hi, y'all. With the news that Star Wars Squadrons will be the exact same game on next gen as on old gen, I got a question about the future. I'm assuming that the game will still look better on next gen. It'll just have no extra modes or expanded stuff. With smart delivery and backwards compatibility a thing now, do we still expect more out of games beyond a boost of graphics / performance? Thanks, BJ. Now, to add some clarity to this, right? It was recently revealed that Star Wars Squadron is not going to have a next gen version. It'll just be backwards compatible on next gen, meaning that we're not going to get any like new or like updated content, but it will be boosted at the very least, hopefully, through next gen. And so with that, let me ask you actually, Zombie Kills, before I get to the actual question, are you excited for Star Wars Squadrons?
I am literally so excited. You have no idea. I'm so excited. I have a whole flight simulation set up, blessing. I'm pretty excited about it.
I'm also very excited about it. That is, at this point, probably one of my most anticipated games for the rest of the year. Even though, I don't think it's necessarily going to be the best game for the rest of the year, I'm still, very excited about it because it looks very fun. With all that said, what do you expect out of a next-gen, I guess, re-release or, version of a game? Because as far as we understand, right, we got smart delivery, we have backwards compatibility, and to add more clarity, those are two different things. Smart delivery means you're getting a new version of a game for next-gen, and you are going to own all versions of that game through smart delivery. Right. And so, whatever Cyberpunk 2077 is for next-gen, that is going to take advantage of the Xbox Series X, and whether that means SSD or ray tracing or whatever it is, that is taking advantage of the Xbox Series X, and you're going to have all versions of that game. Whereas backwards compatibility just allows you to play an old game with maybe some boosted elements, who knows. What do you look for when it comes to a next gen version of a game?
I just want it to look better. I think people are asking too much. They're like, oh, well, next gen, we should get new stuff. And I'm like, y'all, let these devs live. I just want the game to look better. I mean, next gen's right around the corner. When we're getting Squadrons, is going to be right around the same time that it's launching. For us to expect a whole bunch of new stuff is just being a little greedy. Let's just hope that our game looks beautiful. Let's hope that it plays well, and that we have these super enhanced graphics that we're all looking for. And I'm good with that. I don't feel like we need to get, it's next gen, so now I also want bonus. Let's focus on taking everything to the next level graphics wise. I know you men, you love the, I want it so crisp, my eyes bleed. So let's do that first,
Yeah. I think as far as Star Wars Squadrons, BJ Bernardo, don't hold out too much hope that is going to be any sort of dynamically different when it's backwards compatible. On the PlayStation side, they've talked a lot about boosting, specifically during that Mark Cerny presentation where they talked about the hardware and all that stuff. You can expect the game to maybe, look better and maybe take advantage of certain things. Maybe load times will be cut down due to the SSD. But as far as I understand, every game might take advantage of that stuff differently. And so I wouldn't hold out hopes that Star Wars Squadron is going to be dynamically different. That said, as far as like new versions of games, so let's go back to the Cyberpunk example, or even a Spider-Man example, right? If Spider-Man came out on PS5, Marvel Spider-Man 2018, if that game came out on PS5, I'm expecting that game to, one, cut down dynamically on load times, one, because they've talked a lot about that, but then also because of the SSD, right? I'm expecting that game to look better, maybe run smoother. I'm expecting actual, again, not anything life-changing, but stuff that would make that game worth even replaying. That's kind of what I'm looking forward to out of games that are coming out next gen.
We just want pretty, y'all. Let's lower our expectations and chill. It's been tough on everybody. Hard on these games.
I'm going to pull in one more question from Chance Carter, who writes in and says, From Software has released new information on an update coming to Sekiro in October. While the new content does seem fun and gives me a reason to jump back into the game, I can't help but to feel another huge missed opportunity by FromSoft to add an accessibility option to their most critically successful game. I can't be the only one whose mind immediately jumped to this when I first read the headline. If Miyazaki won't add this option to his Game of the Year winner, will he ever? I'm not to more levels of in love, but I do love his teams and his, or I do love his games and his team's games, and I want everyone to get a chance to enjoy them. This is an interesting question. I don't know if you are you at all into the From Software games, like the Dark Souls and all that?
Yes, 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 yes. I think adding accessibility options to your game should be a given at this point. I think that we've come too far as like game consumers to not believe that everybody should have accessibility options to gaming in general, right? Like, I can't believe we're still even having questions about accessibility, and I can't still believe that in 2020 games are coming out without like the full rigmarole of accessibility options, you know?
Yeah, I'm definitely with you. And I think over the last few years, we've come such a long way in this conversation, like to the point where, and I think like Celeste is one of the games we have to thank for it, because Celeste was the game that came out with the assist mode, and everybody took notice of that as something that was amazing for that game. And I think that to me was the small snowball that like rolled into the huge, I guess, bigger snowball that is The Last of Us Part Two, and what we saw with accessibility in that game and how they put that thing front and center and allowed you to customize so much. I think we're only going to see that more and more. And also, like, frankly, Sekiro, I think, was also another big talking point in what this conversation is, because Sekiro is the game where it's all about difficulty. It is all about like this specific vision that Miyazaki and his team has for making their games, you know, hard to get through, right? And like making it a journey to get through, making it like this experience to get through. And I think the big takeaway for me from that conversation is like accessibility means way more than adding an easy mode or a normal mode to a game, right? Like, yep. I think that's the thing that kind of needs to translate across the board is I'm fine with Souls games and FromSoft games and games in general, like not having an easy mode if that's not their vision for it. Like, I'm fine with them not having a normal mode, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they shouldn't have accessibility, right? Like the goal you should have with accessibility from there is allowing anybody to be able to play that game and experience that same level of difficulty. And so that does, like, I think a FromSoft game would benefit a lot from an assist mode or benefit a lot from having similar options as we see from things like Last of Us, right? Whether that is like a colorblind thing that turns everything, you know, red and blue or whatever, in order to like make things clear on where enemies are, or like whether that is like allowing you to increase how many hits you can take or whatever, right? Like that doesn't necessarily have to be like a throw an easy mode in your game and compromise your vision. Like accessibility really is about rolling in those options into your vision and allowing anybody to be able to play those games.
Yeah, I want to see that. I'm with you. Like, if you don't want to make your game easy, don't make your game easy, right? But
yeah,
like, you're cutting yourself out of money if you don't make it accessible. That's all I'm saying. If you don't make your game accessible in 2020, you're just losing out on money. So we can all play it. I don't care about easy. I'll die a million times and look at Cuphead. I hate that game, but I love it so much. I'll play it. Make it accessible. Just make your games accessible. Going forward, there shouldn't be a studio alive that doesn't do that.
And yeah, to Chance Carter's question of will he ever, like talking about Miyazaki, right? Will he ever add these options? I think like at this point with Sekiro, I mean, he's still updating it, so who knows? You know, if you're adding this update, who knows what else you're working on? I think we will get to the point though where FromSoft games and those types of games add those options. Because I think at a certain point, like right, we're at the point where this year, the biggest game that has come out this year has had a breadth of those options available. And if that's the case, I think more and more we're going to see criticism for games that don't have those options. And I think with that being the case, developers will find it necessary to add those options in their game. So I think we'll see it. I think we'll see it.
It's representation, Blessings. You and I want to see Black people in games.
Mm-hmm.
And people who are disabled want to be able to see themselves. You know, like, they want to be able to have the same access to games that we want to have to games. It's just a different type of representation in a different scale. They want to just be able to even play the game. It's only right, you know?
Now it's time to squad up. Brandon in Atlanta writes in with a squad up on Xbox and says, I'm loving the first few days of Grounded, but I've kind of hit a wall that I built and now need to build doors in. I need weed stems. But to cut down weeds, you have to kill big-ass bugs and to get the parts to make a better axe. My tiny shrunken ass, I keep reading this as shuriken, even though it's shrunken. My tiny shrunken ass keeps getting gored by spiders and bombardier beetles. and I need to kill a few bombardier beetles and ladybugs to make the wave I need to keep building my base. Let's get shrunk together. You can add Brandon in Atlanta on Xbox with the username Engine25. That is Engine, the number 25, all one word. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong, where you write in, let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong. Nana Bologist says, can Zombie Kill say what the Black-owned comic shop was?
It was Offbeat in Jackson. So Offbeat JXN on Twitter.
Nana Bologist also says, yes, the Blitzchung controversy happened last year in October. Frankfurter says, missed new date. Hyperscape is coming to console on August 11th. Oh, that is very exciting because I was actually very much looking forward to that. And so that is exciting. Let's see. And then lastly, I actually have not read that one. Zombie Kills, thank you so much for joining me. This is great. This is awesome.
I loved it. I love getting to spend time with you. I'm going to harass you to play Grounded with me.
We will play Grounded. Zombie Kills, where can people find you if they want to watch your content?
You can find me on Twitter. I'm Zombie Kills, ZombieKillz. I'm Zombie Kills on Twitch, Zombie Kills on Instagram. I pretty much have some really solid branding, guys. So you can find me anywhere. Just type my name in and Google.
There you go. And of course, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. Tomorrow, Greg is joined on the show by Major Nelson. So tune in for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.